Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what is the reason behind the rapid increase in Muslims around the world?
Analysis of the 2011 government census figures has shown a rapid decline in those who profess the Christian faith in the UK. The Office for National Statistics illustrated that the percentage of Christians dropped from 71.7% in 2001 to 59.3% in 2011. At the same time, more than 1 in 10 under 25-year-olds claimed to be believers of the Muslim faith. A spokesperson for the Church of England responded to these findings by stating, "Christianity was the largest religious group in England and Wales, with 33.2 million people. 59% of the population. The second largest group was Islam, with 2.7 million people, 5% of the population." This week's Islam and Life asks, what is the reason behind the rapid increase in Muslims around the world?
It's a very good question indeed, and it's very paradoxical. If we look at what is happening around the world and you ask people in the West, for example, in the States, in Canada, in Europe, and around the Australia and all the Western countries, and if you come to Africa and if you ask, sometimes even in the Middle East and where the Muslims are in majority, in Muslim majority countries, the perception of Islam now, it's every day, day in, day out, we have a controversy about Islam, and the perception, we have census and we have surveys that are showing that the people, when asked about Islam, very often they have a negative perception of Islam. A negative perception of Islam, connecting Islam to violence, to discrimination of women, to a way of treating women with the headscarf, and all these controversies with the cartoon controversy. So day in, day out, we have this. And at the same time, when we come to the figures, what is very paradoxical is to see on the ground that this is the fastest growing religion around the world, that people are coming to Islam, converting, reverting to Islam, and are attracted by this religion. While the pressure and the media pressure and all what is said about Islam is exactly the opposite of what they are looking for, and still they are studying Islam, getting more knowledge about Islam and embracing the faith and the very essence of Tawheed, that there is only one God, that we cannot worship but Him, and then we follow the last messenger. How can we explain this? What is exactly happening around the world? And what can be and should be done by Muslims to also deal with this phenomenon, because this is a great responsibility? These are questions that the Muslims should ask from within, and we have to try to solve them and try to deal with it, because it's not enough to be happy about the figures. It's very important to be concerned about the quality, the essence of this religion. And to answer all these questions, I'm joined by the co-founder of Muslim Debate Initiative, Abdullah Al-Andalusi. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me start with the first question about the state of affairs. What is happening around the world? Because it's really, in fact, actually very paradoxical to listen to what is said by the biggest media around the world about Islam, and still, when you look at the people in the West, even coming to Islam, embracing Islam, converting to Islam, and being involved in the religion, how what is happening, and how would you explain it?
Well, I think it's quite interesting what we see around the world. As you said, the Muslim civilization is not the most dominant civilization in the world. We don't have the we're not at the cutting edge of technology like we used to be in the 1500s and so on. But what you're seeing is that despite, you know, colonization, despite the fact that a lot of the culture that's coming into our countries is obviously from Hollywood and from Bollywood and a lot of this kind of very Western culture, Muslims are still affirming their faith. They're still choosing to be Muslim, and more people are joining the faith of Islam. And I think that there are many factors. Some people will say that, you know, birth rate is one issue, that Muslims mm-hmm. are having many children. We have a lot of children. But you see, Muslim growth rates are still kind of beating Christian growth rates in a lot of countries, even where you have non-Muslims who have traditional families as well and have large families as well. So birth rate isn't the only explanation. Mm. There is an explanation which is, in essence, the Islam has a spiritual and intellectual appeal to many people who embrace it. I'm a revert or convert to Islam. Hmm. And many people like me, even in developed countries such as in the West, in England and America and so on, they are embracing Islam after a period of study, after being curious about the world, trying to question the norms and values of their society and reaching a bigger truth. So I think that the most straightforward explanation is that Islam does have a intellectual appeal. It's very simple. It's in its ideas, but very profound and very intellectually consistent. We don't have, you know, rational inconsistencies or problems that we have to deal with like other faiths do. And at the same time, we have a very deep spirituality. And as I said, it's focused in the oneness of God. It's really absolute oneness of God. I think that kind of intrigues people. So I think these are some of the factors. So
you said something which is important, and let us just focus on this for a while. When you said it's a simple religion, and the center, the axis, everything, the essence is based on the tawhid, the oneness of God, as you said. Yet, if we look at what is expected by the believers, women and men, it's quite demanding. 5 times a day you pray, 1 month a year you fast, and you fast, and it could be very difficult. For example, in Europe these days is during summer, long day when you fast, where it's a demanding religion, simple as to the principles, demanding as to practice, as to daily practice, as to the way we have also to have a very strict ethical life. Because at the end, everything in Islam is not only about practicing the pillars and the rules or respecting them, it's also about the good behavior. It's also as to be a witness within the society. It's demanding, it's not an easy, and still you have people coming. What could be, while, you know, we are in a society where what is celebrated is freedom, do as you feel, go ahead with consumerism, and then you have a religion saying, in fact, quite the opposite. And still, it's simple, demanding, and sometimes the opposite of which the lives you can get in the West. So why is it attractive?
I mean, that's quite interesting, especially if you look at how you could say the media depicts converts to Islam, that there must have been some other reason. Maybe they convert to Islam because they wanted to get married, or they were going to get married to a Muslim. Or maybe they convert to Islam because they had some mental problem, or they were disenfranchised with society, or a whole number of reasons. But what they, I suppose, maybe don't want to look at is that perhaps there's something intrinsic in the human being that is found lacking in Western society, this lack of spiritual depth, lack of, you know, objective values, moral values, and so on. A way of life, a belief which is not detached, where you believe, well, you know, whatever is the question to the answer, purpose of life, your life is detached from that, but rather your purpose of life informs your life and directs your life, gives yourself purpose. And, you know, values such as in the West, which you see this kind of hedonistic, you know, some obviously hedonistic lifestyles. Others are more this kind of, they worship, or you could say, individualism or autonomy out of the individual. So to subserve yourself to a higher power where you have to deny yourself your impulses is viewed as unthinkable. They just can't understand this. Hmm. But I would say it's a triumph of human nature over the kind of the Western systems, because intrinsic to ourselves, we want actually to be to have some kind of direction, some kind of meaning in our lives. And even if that is a structured meaning, I mean, people people, like students, for example, let's say, they study very hard to pass their exams. So there is hardship in life. Life, you know, it's not ease. A lot of life is hardship. As God says in the Quran, that He made man in, you know, to toil. So we toil. And there's something about us, about Islam, that appeals to our fitrah, our innate human nature. And this direction, this purpose, I think, is a price people are willing to pay, because it actually gives them a deep sense of satisfaction and direction.
There is a question in what you are saying, because it could be understood that, in fact, it's opposite of the Islamic principles, or the Islamic values, or the Islamic teachings, or the Islamic principles are at odds with the Western lifestyle. So it's as if people are attracted by the opposite. They are not happy in the West, so they are attracted. Still, we are Western Muslims, and we live in the West as people having the Western culture or living in Western societies. So is it at odds with the whole system, or is there a way for Muslims to be and to remain Muslims and to be rooted in the Islamic tradition, while at the same time taking from the West what is good? How do you reconcile the two dimensions here?
Well, I mean, I think all civilizations, cultures throughout history have had certain commonalities. So obviously most civilizations outlaw murder, outlaw stealing. Lying is viewed as a bad thing in most cultures and civilizations. So, I mean, there's a lot of things which, you know, are in common amongst all human societies. And as Muslims, I think, or people who embrace Islam, it hasn't so much that they've rejected 100% of all values, morality and culture in the West, but rather they've just refounded their moral values and their whole viewpoint on a different basis. And there are commonalities and there are differences. So obviously we don't partake in drinking alcohol, and we don't partake in some licentiousness which is viewed as acceptable in Western culture currently, or popular Western culture. Not everyone in the West does it necessarily, but I'm just saying that it's generally accepted. It's norm, going to the pub, going to the bar. These are accepted practices. People after work, they always meet their work friends in bars and pubs and so on and so forth. Now, obviously, this is where there are differences. But what Islam, I find, what it helps Muslims to do is it actually makes us, obviously not on purpose, but by consequence, better citizens in the West, because we don't partake in, we're not meant to partake in rowdy behavior. We're not meant to lie, cheat, steal, deceive, be treacherous. And if Islam actually, what you'll find is that when people embrace Islam, they clear up a lot of the bad practices they did in their past. So people who were not very good with their neighbors, not very sociable with their neighbors, became more sociable with their neighbors after embracing Islam. So this kind of atomization that you see in Western culture, they broke out of that shell, and Islam actually gave them the help they need to break out of that shell. So it actually led to some very positive changes that Islam mandates upon believers: being concerned for your neighbor, helping the poor, doing more charity work, keeping your word. All these things help people, and I think that as a consequence, we naturally become better citizens in any country in the world, of course. As I said, there are obviously commonalities, but there are also differences. And I think these differences are brought into sharp relief, especially in the media, especially in various countries in Europe where Muslims are suppressed from manifesting these differences. So going to school in France with the hijab is not permitted. Wanting to build a minaret for your mosque in Switzerland, not permitted. And obviously in Germany, they tried to ban things like circumcision and stuff like that.
So with all these hindrances and way of dealing or rejection even, and what is called Islamophobia in many countries, still what we have is people coming to Islam, they want to know more. And in fact, it might be that this is the consequence of what is done. The controversies are opening eyes and opening hearts about Islam to try to understand what is it all about, it happened after September 11, and now it's happening after many of the controversies. Many people want to say, okay, we might not know exactly what it is all about, we need to know more. So as you said, something which is important is more knowledge shows how much Islam is consistent in a rational way and have a very strong spiritual dimension that is important when we deal with contemporary problems within our society. I want to add one question to this one, because okay, that's fine, we can celebrate this, that people are entering, are converting, and Muslims are now millions around the world. Of course, more than 1.5 billion, what we said, we don't know exactly the number, and there are lots of Muslims in the West, and we might be happy with this. And still the numbers, as you said, normally they should be better citizens. Normally they should be the witnesses of what is good. They this is what you said. We have values in the West, and the Muslims are the added value to the values. So making them alive. They should be like this. This is litakunu shuhada ala nas. This is what we are expecting from Muslims. Still, in jails, now what we have is, you know, the percentage of people, Muslims in jail in all the Western countries, and mainly in France, in the Netherlands, in Britain, it's huge. So we still have this. So there is one problem here that we have to solve. And the other problem is that the numbers are not enough to celebrate the contribution of Muslims to the societies around the world. And it makes us remember what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, that one day you will be lots of people, but you will be as, you know, exactly. On the, so this is what you are going to be. And why? Because it's hubb dunya. You will love this dunya, this life, and you will be scared of dying. So how do you deal with this very spiritual dimension? The fact is that you have to deal with quality first.
Well, I mean, that's always an issue, even with Muslims who haven't embraced the faith. So born Muslims, people born into it, they take it for granted. Many Muslims believe Islam, or they just encounter Islam as a set of almost cultural tick boxes that you must fulfill, and then you're considered to be a Muslim. And many Muslims who are born into Muslim families believe they know all there is to know about Islam, even though they've had just maybe a primary or even secondary education with that might have mentioned Islam, including it, especially referring to the Muslim world mostly. And unfortunately, the belief of Islam is misunderstood. It's not fully apprehended. And I suppose one of the benefits of, I suppose, a convert becoming a Muslim is Muslims who embrace Islam from the West, we knew how to live by an idea. Usually the idea was the Western concepts such as obviously liberalism and individualism and so on and so forth. And we knew how to live by an idea. So when we embraced Islam, we knew how to, we took Islam as an idea and we embraced it comprehensively, like we did our previous ideology or belief or whatever. And I think that's something to teach the Muslims. I mean, I believe that when the European interacted with Islamic Spain, they learned from Muslims how to live by an idea. Obviously, they didn't take our idea. They made their own. But they learned how to live by an ideal. And I think this is what Muslims need to really master, is actually how to live by an ideal. Not, Islam's not just a set of ritual practices which are empty or hollow. They actually have meaning, significance. There is it's a difference between just being a Muslim and ticking the boxes and actually directing your whole perspective of life through the lens of Islam. There's a very, very big differences. And I think a lot of attention should be paid to improving the quality of those who are Muslim and those who newly embrace Islam. There's a lot of support that new converts to Islam need. They're not getting that support. They might get it elsewhere with places or people which are not so authoritative or not so well versed, or they might take up things which are considered to be extreme, or even bring some old practices in with them. And I suppose we have to help and support new converts, was in the West as also in other countries around the world where there are new converts. But also I would say we need to kind of almost in a way bring Muslims back into Islam, because the best da'wah, the best manifestation of Islam is through one's actions and character and personality. And I would say that Muslims have converted historically more people through our character and behavior than we have through just preaching our ideas. People saw out the character of the Muslim civilization in the past, and they were impressed by that, and they embraced Islam in vast numbers, but much more vast numbers than an individual preacher could bring in.
But this is the very important point that you are making. Many people are, and it's true now, the statistics and all what we have, it's the reality. So even in the West, where people were expecting the Muslims to assimilate, to disappear, now there is more practicing Muslims, more visible in the mainstream space, in the public life, in media, everywhere we have now Muslims that are visible, because Islam is a visible religion, because the way we dress, the way we pray, the way we fast, this has a visibility. So all this is true, is the reality. Now, we also have people coming because they learn about Islam, they read about Islam, they like Islam and its principles and the essence, the very strong spiritual lessons that we can get, the very strong rational take on many things, that nothing in Islam is irrational. It could show us the limits of rationality, but it's not irrational. It's just explaining in rational terms the limits of rationality, because the heart is understanding. All this is known and it's important. And we still have people, after they read, after they heard about Islam, they convert, and then when they start dealing with Muslims, what we have, and this is also the reality, people leaving Islam and not being supported by the community. So just the statistics are a way for us of celebrating the reality. But the reality on the ground is a great responsibility. We should to be involved with this, and the entrance is wide open for people to enter, but the back door is also for people who are leaving. So how do we deal with this? How could be the steps for us to just to be at the level of the duties that are expected from Muslims to deal with this reality?
Well, I think Muslims need to actually not focus on just counting numbers and celebrate, as you said, celebrating people just entering into Islam. But a person becoming a Muslim is not just an individual making a choice. Mm. It's embracing a new community, entering into a new community. A lot of surveys have shown that new reverts or converts, I mean, although they don't break off contact with non-Muslim friends and so on, but their inner circle of friends drastically changes, becomes mostly Muslim, and they basically start to change their kind of culture a bit, adapt themselves to a different way of behavior, obviously with Islamic personality and characteristics and things like that. And you need to have a support group around you. You need to have a community where humans are not, these atomized individuals. We are social creatures, and we need to have society around us to help us, to reinforce us, especially in Western countries, where you have a society is feeding us different messages. So, images are showing, women in a different perspective than we would. In Islam views women as very noble. They would view women slightly differently, you could say, in terms of exploiting and so on. And it's showing very bad cultures, very bad mannerisms of, losing your temper, road rage, being impatient, being running consumerist, materialistically focused. Muslims, especially convert Muslims, need a support mechanism that gives them an alternative to that. And it's best vital. Otherwise, they will burn out after a while. They'll try to discipline themselves, but with the whole world against them and no one to support them, they'll burn out. And then they'll basically either, become non-Muslim, or they'll just become what you say, lapsed Muslims. And I think this is a big tragedy.
Thank you so much. I think that this discussion, it's important. And as we said, the numbers are clear today. Islam is attracting people. And as you said, I think the most important thing, a simple religion with a very deep spiritual message and not being against the rationality that is so important for us today, is not to act against our reason, but to reconcile heart, reason, and also a demanding life in spiritual terms. And this is also attractive in the West, where consumerism and the way we are dealing with entertainment could be a way to be lost in this world. So this reconciliation is important. The second thing that we said in this discussion is also about the numbers. We have to be very cautious not to be obsessed and happy with the numbers. The quality is important. And as you said, quite importantly, to know the duties when people are entering Islam, that the way we have to be with them, to go along with them, to respect their choice, but also to help them not to be lost within this new community. And sometimes the Muslims are not doing this. They are happy when they enter and they forget that they are among them in the world and in the community. And this is also something which is very important in the way we have to deal with it. It's a duty, it's a responsibility. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
Islam and Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticism on any of the shows you have seen or you would like to see. You can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debate and view past shows on our social media platforms. Tweet us at Islam and Life TV or join us on Facebook by liking our page Islam and Life on Press TV. where you can share your thoughts with other Islam on Life fans, engage with debate, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Abdullah Al-Andalusi. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.